What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Dubs taking on the Heat this afternoon in Miami. February 27th, a special date for Dubs fans, and why we might see something special tonight from Steph Curry. All that's coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Got a quick one for you today. Warriors taking on the Heat this afternoon in Miami. Always interesting when they play in Miami or LA, New York. What other, you know, party cities are out there? So they had last night off. Well, technically the last two nights off, because they flew in after the Hornets game and got there early enough. They could still go out, and then they had Tuesday off and Tuesday night off. I'm sure there was a lot of Pedialyte being drinking it at practice. Get those electrolytes back. So it'll be interesting to see, man. They succumb to the Miami flu sometimes. Basically, they all go out and party. So it'll be interesting to see how they play tonight, how they're able to handle the Heat overall. Can they, if you guys remember last time they played, Josh Richardson had, you know, one of his best games of his career. Deion Waiters couldn't miss. Justice Winslow couldn't miss. And that's not really their game. So can the Warriors keep them in check tonight? I know Steve Kerr is a huge fan of Miami and Spoelstra and the way they play, that they're just, I don't know about locked, disciplined. They're very disciplined. And Steve Kerr loves that, kind of shades of Popovich, where you might get the win, you might blow them out even, but it's not going to be because of their mental mistakes. You know, it's going to be because you actually outplay them. They're not going to put themselves in a bad situation. So it'll be one to watch for tonight. DeMarcus Cousins is actually sitting out tonight's game because it's the first game of a back-to-back. They take on Orlando tomorrow afternoon. And I think he could play back-to-backs, but at this point, what's the point of it? You got 22 games left, I think. There aren't back-to-backs in the playoffs where that's the most important time for him. So why play him in back-to-backs now? And if they feel it's a risk to play him in a back-to-back, then don't do it. And so they're not going to. So Kevon Looney will most likely start, and we'll see if Jordan Bell gets some playing time tonight. I think he should and will, just to try and match up with some of the athleticism of Bam Adebayo and Hassan Whiteside, maybe. So we'll see, but no Cousins tonight, which is too bad after he had probably the best game of his short Warriors career. But he'll be back tomorrow, and no big deal. One thing that we should look for also, Klay's performance, depending on how he does tonight, he could eclipse 40% from three for the first time this season. He hasn't gotten up to 40% yet at any point in the season. He started off the season slow, so even in that first game, didn't get to 40%. And it just continued poor performances. But he's been good as of late, last month and a half. I mean, all of 2019, really. So we'll see if he can continue that, and can he get up above 40%? I think he will, personally. I took the risk of saying he'd do it before the All-Star break, and he had a chance, but then he kind of had a clunker against Portland the last game before All-Star break and hit the break at about 39%, which is still good, but not at Klay Thompson's level. So I think tonight's the night that he does it. First time all season. Get above 40%. Alphonso McKinney got some playing time the last couple games. He's been a positive. The three-point shot hasn't been great. He did knock one down last game. He went 1 of 2 from three. He had 5 points overall. Just his energy, his length, his rebounding, has been a good thing to have out on the floor, and I think we'll continue to see that. And then without Cousins tonight, I think we'll get to see a little bit of Jarebko also, which isn't bad. These are good things, especially with the playoffs coming up. I wouldn't want to overdo it for the starters or for Sean Livingston and Andre Iguodala. Maybe give out a few more minutes for the young guys. Just keep a couple minutes off the older guys. I would like to see at some point the idea of these guys are locked in. They're ready to go for the playoffs. And maybe that won't happen for another 10, 12 games. But at a certain point, I'd like to see, okay, these guys are they have their eye on the playoffs. They're ready to go. They're focused, you know, not making mistakes. And I don't know if we will see it. Maybe we won't see it until the playoffs. But I, you know, people mentioned it. I forget what players mentioned it. Maybe Steve Kerr mentioned it coming out of the All-Star break that, you know, this is when we start to ramp up. And we haven't quite seen it yet. Nice win against Charlotte. But like I said in the last podcast, they had chances to really put them away throughout that game and couldn't. So that's something I'm looking for. I believe this is the last game that they will play, or Dwayne Wade will play against the Warriors. Warriors will play against Dwayne Wade. So that'll be nice, something to see. They'll do the jersey swap that he's done every single game. And I've speculated on who it would go to. I think it'll be KD this time because I think Steph got it last time. And it's just funny because I remember watching him play the Kings, and a buddy of mine were joking about who on the Kings would get it. And, you know, Buddy Hield or De'Aaron Fox or, you know, whoever. Backup point guard Frank Mason stole it. He ran in there before anyone else could. And, oh, okay, yeah, let me get the jersey and the shot and the picture. You know, let's make this happen. Pretty hilarious by my account. Also, Steve Kerr, a nice thing that Steve Kerr and the Warriors did today was they had the students from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland. They had them come to shoot around today and, you know, met with Steve and the players and all the students, as you know, from the horrific school shooting there. Major gun control advocates, just like Steve Kerr. And it was just good to see. They all had a good time. A couple of them were throwing down dunks. Steph looked a little jealous. Like, Steph threw an alley-oop to one of the kids, and, you know, Steph was kind of like, yeah, that's all right. Steph's like, I can knock down 23s in a row. Can you do that, jerk? No, it was a nice thing for them to do, and just another win for the Warriors, man. They just always seem to understand their situation as celebrities, as superstars, as a superstar team. So I appreciated it. I thought it was great. And hopefully they'll stick around and watch the game. That'd be cool. Because I'm going to watch it. I know that much. I think that's about it as far as tonight's Heat game goes. Pretty standard stuff. Nothing too crazy. But you guys should keep an eye out because it is February 27th. And one Warriors player seems to do some pretty outrageous things on February 27th. And we're going to talk about that coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. The Dubs taking on the Heat tonight, which is a pretty standard matchup. Nothing too wild about it. The Heat played them well the last time they got together. I would think that the Warriors will come out focused and at least try and limit some of the things that the Heat were able to do to make it a close game. But one thing that neither team will have control over is it's February 27th. And on February 27th, Steph Curry has a history of going off. And I mean going off. February 27th, 2013, Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors go into Madison Square Garden to take on the New York Knicks. In that game, Steph Curry, as we all know, puts up 54 points, 11 of 13 from three, 18 of 28 from the field, 7 of 7 from the free throw line, six rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals. This was, as we all know, his career high, which By the way, Steph has the ability to eclipse it a number of times. But the thing is that we see with Steph and Klay, when they get high point totals, when they get to the 40s and 50s, it usually means the Warriors are blowing the team out. This was not the case against the Knicks. Actually, the complete opposite. They ended up losing this game. But Steph's career high, 54. He scored this at Madison Square Garden, which everyone, you know, kind of freaks out about. MSG and the, what is it, the Mecca, whatever. I don't get that. I don't understand it. I don't agree. I don't think anything extra special happens there. But that's just me. As far as this game is concerned, though, here's who was starting. It was Steph, Klay, Draymond, Harrison Barnes, and my man, Andres Biedrins. Andres Biedrins starting at the five. This was also, Draymond was starting because David Lee got suspended for an altercation with, I believe, Roy Hibbert and the Indiana Pacers the game before. Steph was involved with it also, but he only got fined. And Steph, luckily, was able to play. Andres Biedrins, though, starting at the five, man. Shout out Beans, that guy. So if you look at the starting lineup, Steph, 54 points. You know who had the second most points in the starting lineup? I bet you do. It was Klay Thompson with six. Third most, Draymond Green had four. Fourth most, Harrison Barnes with three. Andres Biedrins coming in with zero. Biedrins only played just under 8 minutes. Jarrett Jack, Carl Landry both played over 30 minutes. Jack had 14, Landry had 15. Festus Ezeli got some run, as did Richard Jefferson. Pretty wild. Pretty wild to think about. Steph, this the reason why this one is special, and it's not just the point total or MSG, which, like I said, I don't really care about that. The reason why it's special is because it was really the first glimpse we got of Steph Curry's greatness, so to speak, of Steph Curry's ability to go off and entertain people in a way we have never seen before, going 11 of 13 from three. 11 of 13 from three. He shot 84.6% from three that night. That is out of control. And just to see him go off and have the fun that he did and, you know, shoot high-arcing threes over Tyson Chandler, threes in transition, just to do everything that he did that night, it was really our first glimpse of what we were going to see in the future. What we were going to see him do as a two-time MVP, you know, three-time champ, all that stuff. But it was the first glimpse, and the lasting image of this game is after he knocks down one of his 11 threes, he's, you know, high-stepping back to the backcourt, arms flailing, Draymond's going for a high five, and Steph just ignores him. I'll give Steph credit and say he didn't see him, but no, Steph ignored him. He was like, me, this is about me. It was hilarious and pretty great, too. So it was a scene, something we'll always remember, and we'll also remember the fact that they lost. And like I said, Steph, Klay, KD, I think all these guys have the ability to put up 70, 80 points in a game. But the bottom line is once they start hitting that 50 mark, game's over. Up by 20. Remember when Klay had 60? Didn't even play the fourth. So the fact that this one was different was they lost, and Steph had to play all 48 minutes in this game. How crazy is that? You don't see that at all anymore. To think that only 6 years ago a guy like Steph played 48 minutes in a game is out of control. But they did end up losing this one, which dropped them to 33-26, I believe. And how crazy is this when you look back? This is the Knicks team that was starting Carmelo Anthony, Tyson Chandler, Raymond Felton, Amon Shumpert, and Jason Kidd. Carmelo had 35 that game. He was solid. Went to the line a lot. J.R. Smith put up 26. He kind of had the dagger late in the game. He went 6 of 11 from 3, while Steph went 11 of 13. Amari Stoudemire put up 14. Man, that's crazy. That's an old Knicks team. How things change in 6 years, man. But I bring up this one first because it was impressive. Warriors lost 105 to 109. And I said first because there's another accomplishment, another feat Steph had on February 27th. And this one was 3 years ago against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Yes, Oklahoma City Thunder versus the Warriors. I think you guys might remember this one also. This was during the 73-9 season, obviously. Steph Curry goes for 46. He was 14 of 24 from the field, 12 of 16 from three, 6 of 8 from the free throw line, 3 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals. This one is much more memorable to me than the MSG one, and I'll tell you why. Technically, MSG was a better game, I guess, but for me, this one has the storylines, man. This one, Warriors fighting for that 73-9 season. 53 wins coming into this game, I believe. They are looking to continue their play. And also, OKC, probably their biggest rivals in the Western Conference. First half, pretty ugly. Not great for the Warriors. OKC got out to a great start. And KD, Russ, they were kind of going off. They were getting it done, especially KD in the first. He had 10 in the first, which was the lead in the first. The Thunder were leading 30-20 after the first quarter. Second quarter, same thing. Russ and KD were having great games, and no one besides Steph on the Warriors really seemed to even show up. In the second quarter, Steph had 11. No one else had more than 4. And the person who had 4 was Leandro Barbosa. Shout out to Blur. KD had 11 in the second. Russ, 10. So they end that first half down by 11, 46-57. And then the drama started. We all remember the halftime yelling match or whatever it was between Draymond Green and Steve Kerr, which I thought got blown out of proportion. But that, I mean, what do I know? I wasn't there. Maybe it was so bad. But here's where it really started getting crazy. So, yes, it got reported on. I think it was Lisa Salters reporting it, whatever. I don't even remember exactly, but I think it was her. And the problem I had was she was reporting this a couple minutes after halftime when in, like, the first 2 minutes of the third quarter, Steph got, like, drop-kicked in the ankle by Russell Westbrook. Accidental, most likely. As far as I can remember, it was accidental, but it looked bad. So not only were they losing this frustrating game, not only did they have this big fight in the locker room, it looked like we might have lost our unanimous MVP. He goes back, gets taped up, comes back, continues having a very Steph Curry game. He only played 6 minutes in the third quarter, where he usually plays the entire third. Had 11 points, was 3 of 5 from 3. Klay started getting it going a little bit, even though he was off from 3 that night. And the Warriors were able to cut it to a 5-point game going into the fourth, 78-83. KD and Russ didn't really cool down, but I think the fact is the Warriors started to heat up a little bit. Russ did go 1 of 5 in the third. So the Warriors start to heat up a little bit, and something that gets lost in this story entirely, which I always make sure to mention, because when it comes to Draymond, they talk about how, Kerr got into it. And, you know, they were fighting and this and that, and it was really bad. And you know what? It might have been bad. But Draymond comes out in the third quarter after the problem they had and was an absolute monster defensively. He was a beast defensively in the third. 3 steals, 2 block shots, 2 assists, 2 rebounds. But it's the steals, the block shots, and then all the defensive stuff that he was doing that doesn't show up on the stat sheet. He was a monster. Like, I don't want to say that confrontation and conflict, like, you know, kind of locks him in, but that's what happened that night. So going into the fourth quarter, Draymond had played just about 30 minutes. Yes, bad night from the field, 0 for 5 from the field, but he did have 8 rebounds, 8 assists, 5 steals, 2 blocks, and that's just through the third. Steph, starting to feel it, starting to get it going, And the thing that I just mentioned it, but I'll say it again. It looked like he might not even play again that night. It looked like he might have injured himself terribly. Tapes it back up, comes out, knocking down shots. In the fourth, Draymond still out there doing his thing. One block shot, four assists, four rebounds. Was able to score another point from the free throw line. That gave him 2 points on the night. But it was one of these games, man, where you're just on the edge of your seat. The Warriors outscore them 25-20 in the fourth. As I said, you might remember, they were down five going into the fourth. So that tied it up. And you might not remember this, but the fourth quarter ended with, I think there was a missed free throw. Not positive, but I remember they get it to Iguodala in transition or off the inbound, where he gets it on the elbow. Pump fake, gets KD up in the air. KD fouls him, puts up the shot, misses it. Andre Iguodala to the line, shooting two, Warriors down two. There might have been, you know, a second left, less than a second left. And I love Andre Iguodala. I think he's a borderline Hall of Famer. If you count team success, I think he absolutely is a Hall of Famer, but I don't know how the voting goes, so we'll have to get into that another day. But probably one of the last people you want at the free throw line, shooting two to tie the game up with less than a second left. You know what he does? Knocks them both down, no problem. Walks back to the bench, does the Jordan shrug. Awesome. Awesome. So we go to overtime, where the Warriors looked dead in the water in the third, when not only do we get the drama of Draymond and Steve Kerr, the drama of Steph getting his leg taken out. Is he going to come back? Yeah, he comes back and he puts up 19 when he does come back, only playing 14, almost 15 minutes in the second half. Klay Thompson, barely even mentioned him. In the second half, he went 8 of 12 to score 19 also. He did go 1 of 5 from 3, so he was getting it done in different ways. Draymond Green, a monster in the second half defensively. Through four quarters, the Warriors and the Thunder are locked up. 103-103. And through four quarters, Steph, 34 points, 11 of 19 from the field, 9 of 12 from 3, 6 assists, 2 rebounds, 2 steals. Klay Thompson, 26 points, 10 of 21 from the field, 1 of 8 from 3. Actually got to the line a little bit this game, 5 of 6 from the free throw line. 3 rebounds. 3 rebounds, 2 steals. I just laugh at Klay's rebound total sometimes. Draymond, an absolute monster. Like I said, he only had 2 points in the game, but through 4 quarters, he had 12 rebounds, 12 assists, 5 steals, 3 blocked shots through 4 quarters. Something that gets lost in that, man, and I will never let it get lost, is his performance in this game. They always want to bring up the drama. Not about the drama, man. It was about how well he played when he came back out. So through 4 quarters, KD had 37, Russ had 21. OKC, they were damn sure the Warriors' biggest rival in the Western Conference that year. In overtime, as we all remember how it went, Warriors outscore the Thunder by 3 in overtime. KD had a rough overtime because he fouled, I think, Andre less than a minute into overtime, which saw him go to the bench, fouling out. And so that left it to Serge Ibaka and Russell Westbrook and Andre Roberson. Serge had 6, Roberson had 4, Westbrook had 5, all in the overtime. But for the Warriors, Steph had 12, Klay had 6. Steph went 3 of 5 from the field, 3 of 4 from 3 in overtime, where Klay went 2 of 2, 1 of 1 from 3. It all came down to Steph Curry bringing the ball up with about 4 seconds left, pulling up at about 40 feet, draining it. We all remember the scene. He starts doing the Bernie, starts seawalking, Draymond screaming his head off. It was incredible. And I hope you all enjoyed this trip down memory lane, because it is one of my most memorable games of my lifetime, especially regular season. I mean, I will put that up actually against a lot of playoff games, honestly. But just absolutely incredible, incredible finish, and just a load of fun too. And I bring it up not just because it's the 3-year anniversary of it, but because Warriors are playing again tonight, and Steph has a penchant for doing great things on February 27th. His final stat line for that game against Oklahoma City, where he came back late and got them the win, knocked down the 40-footer to get the W with about less than a second left. Mike Breen yelling, bang. He was 14 of 24, 12 of 16 from the field, 6 of 8 from the free throw line, 3 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, 46 points. Klay was great too. I definitely mentioned him, but I'll do it again. He was 12 of 23 from the field, 2 of 9 from 3, which you don't expect to get 32 points from Klay when he's 2 of 9 from 3. And Draymond, I'll never let his performance be forgotten in this game. People can bring up his drama with Steve Kerr. I don't care. 2 points, 14 rebounds, 14 assists, 6 steals, 5 blocks. And just a ton of other plays made that don't show up on the box score. So look for something crazy to happen tonight, hopefully, February 27th. For some reason, Stephen Curry has a soft spot for this date. Going to take one last break, give you my league pass picks for tonight, and then wrap this thing up for the day. This is Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. Just finishing this thing up for the night. Just took a little trip down memory lane. As you can tell, that game is pretty special to me, the way I just went over it. One of the most dramatic games in, I don't know, NBA history, Warriors history. As far as the drama goes, the storylines off the court, what happened on the court, it's the best. I loved it. And I love the fact that they play again tonight on February 27th. Hopefully we'll see something else rather special. As far as league pass picks go for this evening, there are 11 games. We've been getting a ton of games a ton of days with 10, 11, 12 games since they came back from the All-Star break, and I am not complaining. Last night's games were good too. As I mentioned with my picks, Toronto smacked the Celtics. I just don't get it with the Celtics. I don't know what's going on. And then the Nuggets beat the Thunder 121-112, which is of note because, look, the Nuggets are only one game behind the Warriors right now. And the Warriors' schedule is pretty tough for the immediate future, while the Nuggets' schedule is kind of soft for the next 5-6 games. But it does kind of even out where the Nuggets play some tougher opponents after that, and the Warriors get a little bit easier opponents. But one game behind the Warriors, I know they'd prefer to keep that one seed. So we'll see how motivated they are moving forward with the Nuggets right on their tail. As far as tonight's games go, like I said, 11 games. Blazers Celtics is interesting, but man, you just never know what Celtics team you're going to get. Are you going to get the team that is, you know, one of the most talented in the game? Or are you going to get the team that got blown out by Toronto last night? I don't know. Clippers Jazz, that's another good one with the 7th and 6th seeds, I believe, playing each other. So keep an eye on that, especially considering the Jazz are half a game ahead of the Clippers. So, I mean, the thing is, I was talking about the Clippers as the 8th seed. They could easily be higher than that. Everything could get flipped around. These teams are so close together as far as records go. Bucks Kings should be a fun one. Wouldn't be surprised if the Bucks smash them. Wouldn't be surprised if Kings give them a game. You never know. And Pelicans Lakers is interesting just because, not because of the Anthony Davis stuff and he'll be in LA, but because the Lakers had a stretch of 3 games against the Pelicans, Memphis, and then the Pelicans again, where I thought it would be a great opportunity for them to pick up some ground, but instead they lost to the Pelicans, they lost to Memphis, and they're taking on the Pelicans again tonight. I don't know what's going to happen. Lakers are 2 games below 500, have the same record as the Minnesota Timberwolves, and are tied for the 10th seed, I guess, or the 11th seed, however you want to look at it. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with the Lakers. It'll be interesting to see, but not so interesting that that's the game you should be watching. So I'll go with Bucks, Kings, Clippers, Jazz. Check those out. And you know what? Trailblazers, Celtics, if you feel like it. Why the hell not? Thank you guys so much for listening. I'll be back with another episode of Locked On Warriors tomorrow. This has been Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You can't climb a mountain if it's smooth, right? You got to go over the rough spots. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.